إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار الله سبحانه وتعالى gives us a beautiful description in Surah An-Nur of the masajid of Allah and of the attributes of the people of the masajid of Allah. Allah says, in houses that Allah has adhina and turfa'. And adhina is a word that you can translate in two different ways, depending on the context and how it's being used in the sentence. Because adhina, the original meaning of adhina in Arabic is to order somebody to do something. But then also a branch meaning from that is to give somebody permission to do something. So some places where it says bi'idhni Allah, it means with the command of Allah, that Allah has ordered for that thing to be done. But we can also mean by the permission of Allah. Allah allows for that thing to happen. So here in this ayah, you could understand in both ways. That Allah is describing the masajid, the places of worship, as houses that He has allowed to be raised and for His name to be remembered in them. Or you can understand that the meaning is houses that Allah has ordered to be raised and has ordered for His name to be mentioned in those houses. And both of these meanings are correct. Why? Because the masajid of Allah, they're a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift from Allah that Allah has allowed us, has permitted for us to have a place that's designated solely for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even if you look at the word masjid, it's ism makan min fi'li sajada. It's the name of the place where the action sajada happens. Right? So it's literally translated as a place of sajda, a place where people bow and put their heads on the ground in humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the masjid is a place that has been designated, a piece of land that's been taken and separated from everything else and designated that this place is somewhere for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a place for us to come to remember Allah, to read the book of Allah, to bow in front of Allah, and to prostrate in front of Allah out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a place where we can be free from the distractions of this dunya. When we're out in the world living our lives, we're with our families, we're in our jobs, we're with our colleagues, we're with our friends, we're driving, we're stuck in traffic. There's so many things that take our focus away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ideally, we have such a strong iman and a strong sense of the remembrance of Allah, that we don't allow those things to cause us to forget about Allah. But وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Human beings were made weak. Right? Even some people say that the word insan, the word for human being, is from nisyan, for forgetfulness. Right? We try to do right, we try to do good, but we get distracted, we forget, we slip. Right? And so there's so many things out there in the world that can distract us, that can take us away from the remembrance of Allah, or even take us away from the obedience of Allah. Right? Because the first step to disobedience is forgetfulness. Right? This is what happened with Adam. Fanasi, he forgot the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we're not remembering Allah, then we're in a state of heedlessness, a state of ghafla, and then it becomes easy for us to slip up and do something that's displeasing to Allah. But the masjid is a place that's free from those distractions. You can come inside the masjid and leave everything else outside. Leave your baggage at the door, as they say. Right? You come into the masjid and you forget about all of the problems that are going on there in the world, and you immediately feel the sense of peace and barakah that there is in having a place solely for the worship of Allah. And it's something that the heart of the human being needs, to have that break from the difficulties of life. Right? And we're not supposed to be people who lock ourselves away, who become monks, who forget about the outside world, but we need those breaks from time to time. And so the masjid is that place where you can come and leave everything else aside and focus just on you in Allah. What is your relationship with Allah? How is your state with Allah today? كَيْفَ حَالُكُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ الْيَوْمِ. How is it that you are in your relationship with Allah right at this moment, right in this instant? And not only that, but it's a place where you come and see your brothers and sisters in Islam who all have come to that same place for that same reason. And so you encourage each other and you help each other in those efforts. Right? Me and one of the brothers were talking the other day about the way that, yes, on the Day of Judgment, you have to be asked alone. Nobody's going to come and take the weight or the burden of what you've done in this world and carry it for you on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, everybody will be solely responsible for their actions. But here and now in this world, we can help each other to prepare for that day. Right? And I gave the example, it's like an exam. When you take your exam, you can't work as a group. When you take your test, you have to do your own test and you can't look at the answers of anybody else. But when you're getting ready for the exam, sometimes it's very beneficial to study together as a group. And you test each other and you prepare together. Right? That's the way this life is. On the Day of Judgment, it's an exam all on your own. But here and now, we can help each other to prepare for that exam. And so the masjid is that place where we come together and we see each other. And we see this beautiful mix of people all from different places around the world, different backgrounds, different languages. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْوَانِكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. With the difference in our appearances and in our languages and all of those things, but we all came together in this one place to worship Allah. So the house of Allah is a great blessing that we have to thank Allah that He allowed us to have this blessing. He allowed us to have a place where we can worship Him and be free from the distractions of the outside world. And where we can meet and we can come together and we know that whoever we find in that place is going to be there for that same reason. When you come to the masjid in the middle of the day, you don't know who's going to be there. You don't know who you're going to find in the masjid. But you know they came to the masjid to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then also, if you take the other meaning from adhina, that it means amara, that it means ordered to do it, then that means also the masjid is a responsibility. It's something that Allah has commanded the people to do. That you are supposed to establish these places for the worship of Allah. Establish these places and for the dhikr of Allah, for the name of Allah to be raised in those places. And if we're not doing that, then we're falling short. Right? And the establishment of the masjids is not just about building the walls, laying a foundation, raising the walls and putting a ceiling over it and saying, okay, now this is a masjid. A masjid without people in it, coming together to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is just another building. Right? The masjid becomes a masjid with the musalloon, with the people that gather in that place for the worship of Allah. So the masjid is also a responsibility. And these are the two key points I want us to take today. That the masjid is a blessing from Allah. It's a ni'mah. And then also, the masajid of Allah are a responsibility placed upon the believers to take care of them, to give life to them, to establish them, all of those things. And part of fulfilling the responsibility of the masajid and also being grateful for that blessing that Allah allowed us to have these places of worship is to be the type of people that Allah describes as the people of the masajid. He said, "Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa yudhkara fiha ismuhu." In houses that He has allowed or ordered to be built and for His name to be mentioned in those places, yusabbihu lahu fiha. There's people that are glorifying Allah in those places. بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ In the mornings and in the evenings. And there's lots of interpretations about what exactly does this mean, بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ But many people say this is covering all salawat al-khams, the five obligatory prayers. Because the الغدو is the morning time until you reach the afternoon. So they say this covers Salat al-Fajr until Salat al-Dhuhr. Then al-Asal is the evening time until the night. Once the sun is declining, until the night time. So they say this covers Salat al-Asr, Salat al-Maghrib, and Salat al-Isha. So all times throughout the days, you find people in these masajid declaring the greatness of Allah. And what are the attributes of those people? رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ There are people that don't get distracted by their business and their buying and selling from the remembrance of Allah. Or in other words, they don't get distracted by the life of this dunya from Allah. Because the example of buying and selling is given because that is one of the main things that will distract people from worship, is their earning and their income and making sure that they have enough to take care of their family. It's a big responsibility that we have. And it's something that Allah has ordered us to do as well. That you earn for your family and you take care of your family and you fulfill that responsibility. But also it can create a lot of worry and a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure to the point that that's all somebody thinks about anymore. So Allah says, no, the people of the masajid are the people that they don't let those things distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked a little bit about this last night in the Khatira, when we are talking about Surah Al-Jumu'ah, that it's very beautiful here that Allah didn't say, رِجَالٌ لَا يَتَّجِرُونَ وَلَا يَبِيعُونَ He didn't say the people of the masajid are people that don't do business, that don't buy and sell. He said they're people, لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ Their business and their buying and selling doesn't distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the way of Islam, that we fulfill our responsibilities, that we take care of the things that Allah has ordered us to take care of. We do the imara of al-arn. We are khulafa. We are caretakers of this world. But we do so with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's narrated, we have a few beautiful narrations about this ayah and about the attitude that we have from the companions and the salaf and the tabi'een about the masajid of Allah. There's a narration from Ibn Abbas narrated in the tafsir of this ayah. He said, "Hi al-masajid tukarramu wa nuhiya anil laghwi fiha." Said, these houses for the worship of Allah, these are the masajid. They're places that have to be honored. Tukarram. They have to be shown respect. Have to treat them in a dignified way. And any type of lahu is prevented in the masajid. Al-lahu wal-lahu. And al-lahu wal-lahu are things that distract people from what's more important. Right? Things that are not beneficial. Vain talk. Vain speech. The things that people get involved in and they take up their time and cause them to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, these places, they have to be honored. We have to respect them. We have to show them the respect they deserve and prevent things from taking place in them that distract people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أمر ببناء المساجد في الدور وبتنظيفها وبأن تنظف وأن تطيب. This hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and I believe in al-Tirmidhi as well in other books of hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered for the people to build masajid, and not only that, but she ordered for the masajid to be cleaned. And not only that, but to be perfumed. To be places of beauty. To be places when you walk in, you see that, oh, this is a place that people give importance to. It's not just like any other place. Right? It's not a place that people just come and they throw things around and don't show it any respect. And there's like a place that is not given importance to. No, it's the most honored place in the hearts of the believers and the people of those masajid. Maybe things that they would feel comfortable doing in their house, they won't do in the masjid because they know that it's a special place. And so it's a place that's treated well, that's kept clean, that's perfumed, that's beautified, out of respect for the one that that house was made for. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Because the masajid are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you come to the masjid, you should feel this is the place of visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ عَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah is with you wherever you are. But the masajid have a special place, a special status as being designated for the worship of Allah that deserves an extra honor, an extra respect given to those places. And Qatada radiallahu anhu from the Tabi'een, was a student of Al-Hasan al-Basri. He said about this ayah, هي المساجد أمر الله ببنائها أو أذن الله ببنائها وأمر بعمارتها وتطهيرها. Said these masajid, Allah has ordered for them to be built, but not only that, He's ordered with the imara of the masajid, that they have to be given life to by coming and spending time in those places. Right? Al-imara is the opposite of al-kharab. Right? A place that's kharib is a place that has been deserted and nobody goes there. And because nobody goes there, nobody takes care of it. And because nobody takes care of it, it started to fall apart. Whereas a place that's ma'mur, it's a place that's visited. It's a place that's frequented, and because it's frequented, it's taken care of and it's kept up. Right? And that's the description of the way the masjid should be. The masjid is taken care of, it's supported. But why is it taken care of and supported? Because it's a place where the Muslims are frequently at. It's a place where the Muslims are constantly going to. So imara of the masjid involves both taking care of it, and cleaning it, and keeping it up, and doing the maintenance of the masjid and all of those things. But also for the people to be there in the masjid to take advantage of it. Right? This is something that Allah has ordered us to do. To be people of the masajid. And to purify the masajid. So, in closing, I remind everyone, again as we started, the masajid of Allah are a ni'mah. They're a blessing from Allah. And they're also a responsibility. Something that we've been commanded to build and to take care of and to find ourselves in whenever we have the time. So we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing that He's given us of the masajid. And then also We should take seriously the responsibility of the command of Allah to establish masajid, to take care of masajid, but also to be people who frequent the masajid, who find ourselves in the masjid, who take advantage of that blessing that's been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, when it comes to the idea of taking care of the masjid and cleaning the masjid and all of those things, I just want to personally thank and then advise everyone else to thank the people during the month of Ramadan that have taken care of the masjid, both the cleaning team and the security team that have been working every day throughout the month of Ramadan. They have done amazing, excellent job of keeping the masjid clean, keeping the masjid beautiful, keeping the masjid safe, and keeping the masjid a place of peace and harmony where we can feel that spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah reward all of the people in this month of Ramadan that were helping to keep the masjid the type of place that we want it to be, to have that great Ramadan experience. And when we talk about the experience of Ramadan and our connection to the masjid in Ramadan, don't let that connection be something that ends with Ramadan. Right? Allah didn't say, "Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa tuzkara fi hasmuhu fi Ramadan." Right? Allah didn't say there are places where Allah ordered for His name to be mentioned in the month of Ramadan and that's it. No, these are places for 365 days out of the year to come to and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are people who don't have the ability to do so. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَن يُذْكَرَ فِي هَسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. Right, the people that want ill for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things that you see is they always target the masajid of Allah. And Allah talks about this in the Quran and has continued throughout history until right now in this very time. That the worst type of people are those that prevent people from remembering Allah and the masajid, and they try to destroy the masajid of Allah. So we have our brothers and sisters in Gaza, their masjids have been destroyed. They don't have the opportunity to go to the masjid. We have beautiful masjid. No one's stopping us from taking advantage of it. Nobody is coming between us and the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except our own selves and our own laziness or our own being distracted. So as we leave the month of Ramadan, let's all make a commitment to not make the end of Ramadan be the end of our connection to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فاليوم نتدبر في قول الله تعالى في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. ونستخرج من هذه الآية أن المساجد نعمة للمسلمين من نعم الله تعالى علينا قد أكرمنا الله بهذه المساجد بأن خصص لنا مناكن خاصة لذكر الله ولإقام الصلاة فهذه نعمة كبرى من الله تعالى وهذه النعمة تستوجب منا الشكر فكيف نشكر الله على هذه النعمة أولا أن نستفيد منها أول كفران النعمة تركها فهجران المساجد من كفران هذه النعمة فنسأل الله أن يجعلنا ممن يعمر مساجد الله وأيضا المساجد لها مسؤولية فنشكر الله على نعمة المساجد بأن نتولى مسؤولية هذه المساجد بأن نعمرها كما قلنا وبأن ننظفها وأن نطهرها وأن نحسن إدارتها وأن ندعمها ونمولها ونقوم بكل ما تحتاج هذه المساجد حتى تكون على وجه الذي يرضاه الله منا. أسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا طاعاتنا وصلاتنا وقيامنا وصيامنا، وأن نجعلنا من الذين يسبحون فيها بالغدو والآصال، لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان، اللهم انصر الذين دمرت مساجدهم ظلما وعدوانا، اللهم كن لإخواننا في غزة عونا ونصيرا، وانصرهم على من ظلمهم يا رب العالمين، آمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، آمين. قوموا إلى الصلاة.